Mark Twain came across a business acquaintance from Boston while he was traveling. And this man boasted that there was nobody who stood in his way when he wanted to do something. So this man added in the conversation to Mark Twain, he said, "Before I die, I'm going to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I'm going to climb to the top of Mount Sinai. And when I reach the peak, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments as loud as I can at the top of my voice." And Mark Twain reflected upon that for a few moments, and then he answered and said to the man, "I have a better idea. Why don't you just stay at home and keep them?" Now, the moral of the story is, it is better to be obedient, keeping the commandments, than merely talking about them or shouting them out. Much better to keep them. We have just finished observing the Days of Unleavened Bread, and we reflected upon the need to get sin out of our lives. If we truly are working on that throughout the year, we are falling more and more in the line of obedience to God and His laws, which we also call walking in the light. The Apostle John called it walking in the path that Christ walked, referring to Christ's obedience and His submission to the will of the Father. Turn with me, please, to begin the sermon to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we will be reading verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 2. Verse number 1, the Apostle John writes, "My little children," and he says this with very much affection in his writing, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." That was John's purpose for writing in this section of Scripture, that brethren do not sin, to make them aware of the ever-present danger of sin, and the need to be on guard against it. That is one of the themes of the Days of Unleavened Bread, which we just finished yesterday. One that we need to carry over into the rest of the year. Being on guard against sin and keeping our minds on God. Continuing on, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." We are human beings, and we do sin. And if we do sin, we have an advocate, an intercessor, Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, "And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." By His blood, He has paid the price and bought us back from the death penalty. Now, as we continue on reading, there's actually a title to this next section, beginning in verse number 3. And the title of this section is "The Test of Knowing Him." The Test of Knowing Him. Verse number 3. "Now by this, we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." So that's the test. Keeping the commandments. Having that relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing God and knowing Christ means that we have a relationship with them, and it's based upon obedience to God's laws. Verse number 4, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." One that actually says that he does know Christ and has a relationship with Him, and yet disobeys God's commandments, is a liar. Verse number 5, "But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." In verse number 6, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Abiding in Christ, which means to dwell or stay with Christ. And the way to abide with Christ is through obedience. It's a habitual obedience. And as John puts it, to walk just as he walked. That's a challenge for all of us as disciples, to walk as Christ walked in obedience. A very great part of our diligence, and it does take diligence, in accomplishing this task of walking as Christ did with the help of God's Holy Spirit, is that God promises blessings. God does promise blessings for those who are truly obedient. And that should give us incentive and motivation. Hebrews chapter 11, just a few pages back. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham did obey when God called him to go to the promised land. Abraham lived as a foreigner, stranger, in the land that he would later receive as an inheritance. You and I, all of us, can learn lessons from the faithful life of Abraham, who was obedient to God and was promised blessings for his obedience. The title of today's sermon is, God Blesses the Obedient. God blesses the obedient. Today, let's examine the scriptures to be reminded that God blesses us for our obedience. Both physical blessings, but even more importantly, spiritual blessings. We have just finished the days of unleavened bread, learning the lessons about sin. And we have determined that we want to walk the right path this coming year. And so it is good to be reminded and encouraged of what faithful obedience, walking the walk like Christ did, what it does for us. Physical blessings as well as more, and even more importantly, the spiritual blessings. Again, notice verse number 8, that Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And of course, Abraham had his obstacles and trials along the way. Many obstacles and trials, just as we do in our Christian walk as well. But Abraham continued on in faithful obedience. And that's what we need to be doing as well. It's very interesting that the Greek word for obeyed here, our English word obeyed, the Greek word in verse 8 is hupakoe. If you're taking notes and you want to write this down, it's spelled H-U-P-A-K-O-E. And hupakoe, the Greek word for obeyed, means to hear submissively. Hear God's word, hear God's voice, and obey submissively. Another Greek word that's translated obey is patho, P-E-I-T-H-O. And with that particular Greek word, not only does it mean to hear submissively, but belief, trust, and confidence enters into the obedience. Trusting and obeying. The paraphrase of verse number 8 reads like this. Abraham trusted God, and when God told him to leave home and go far away to another land, which he promised to give him, Abraham obeyed. I think that's a good way of showing how this word has such rich meaning, trusting and obeying. Abraham surely obeyed God, believing, trusting, and showing confidence in his belief. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, section very familiar to all of us, where Abraham was promised both physical and spiritual blessings for his obedience. Genesis chapter 12. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. That we can read over that real quick without really getting the tremendous significance of what that was in the life of Abraham. To leave his country. Now, think about the fact that he's almost 75 years of age. He's going to leave the country where he had lived. Not only that, but away from his family. And back in the ancient times, family ties were very, very strong. A lot more than they are in today's world. The family stuck together. And they had to do things together. They had to work together. So to leave family was not an easy thing to do. And from his father's house. And again, a lot of times, children had to support the father and the mother and the family. That was an easy thing to do. And to go to a land that he wasn't even familiar with, way off in the distance. Abraham, it was a challenge for him to do that. But then God gave him specific promises for his obedience. Verse number 2, I will make you a great nation, which Israel did go on to become a great nation, and the descendants, modern day descendants, have gone on to become great nations in our day and time in the last couple hundred years. I will bless you, God says, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And again, this is another verse that we can read over real quickly without really understanding the significance of it. The great nation that Israel did become and the modern descendants, God has blessed them, did bless them and has blessed us so much, making a great name of his descendants, and that they would be a blessing to other peoples throughout the world. And they have been. The physical blessings. Then we come to verse number 3, and he promises spiritual blessings to Abraham for his obedience. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In the last part of verse number 3, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's where the spiritual blessing was promised. The promise of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that from his descendants, Jesus Christ would come. The most important blessing for all of mankind, the promise of the Messiah. And Abraham obeyed, even at the advanced age of 75 years. He could have had a ton of excuses for not leaving. But instead, urged on by faith, he obeyed. And it's a good example for all of us. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is a section of scripture where those that were about to enter the promised land, the young people that were under 20 years of age, God was cautioning them through Moses against idolatry that they would be facing. The pagan Canaanites of the land, he was cautioning them about their idolatry. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's pick it up in verse 35. Verse 35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. Verse 39, therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. No other God, and no other God like him. And remember that as you go into the land. Verse 40, you therefore shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today. And what would happen for keeping the commandments? That it may go well with you, and with your children after you, and that it may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord your God has given you for all time. So God gave some specific blessings for being obedient to him. But the promise of the blessing in the land was conditional. It required obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is one of the blessings and cursings chapter. Leviticus chapter 26 is another one. This particular passage, we'll be starting in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1, outlines the responsibility to obey. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Notice, not just simply obey, but diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. God's covenant with Israel contained promises of blessings, but they were conditioned upon obedience by the people. Notice the last part of verse number 1, that they as a nation would enjoy exalted status above the other nations for their obedience. Continuing on, verse number 2, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And we're going to read through some of these blessings that would overtake them for their obedience. Verse number 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, crops, abundant crops, and flocks and herds in abundance. Verse number 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And when God was with the people, that would happen. We saw, we read through the scripture in Nehemiah chapter 4, where they were diligently working to rebuild the walls. And as they were being encouraged that the Lord would fight for them, God was with them. And the work progressed. And God blessed and was with them when they were obedient and diligent in his eyes. Verse number 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. He wanted them to be a holy nation. That's what he called them to be. And through their obedience, the other nations would see that, and they would be fearful. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land of the Lord, which the Lord swore to give to your fathers to you. So, abundance, promises of physical blessings for their obedience as a nation. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. A lending nation rather than a borrowing nation. And unfortunately, as we look at the modern descendants of Israel in our day and time, we've become a borrowing nation where we're in trillions of dollars of debt because we've gotten away from God in obedience. And the Lord, verse 13, will make you the head and not the tail. In other words, you'll be leaders. You'll lead the world instead of being the tail following behind. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So diligent obedience was required for them to receive these physical blessings. God even promised divine protection for the obedient. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. We'll look at a couple more scriptures describing blessings for obedience. Proverbs chapter 28. Again, we've just finished up the days of unleavened bread. We're reorienting our focus for this coming year. We want to walk that diligent walk like Christ did and we have a good chance to reorient our lives. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. Verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings. But here's a cautionary statement, the last part of verse number 20. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. The first part describes the faithful man abounding in blessings. The last part is cautionary, because sometimes human beings, in their desire and eagerness to become rich, it leads to dishonest ways in seeking wealth. And that's why the cautionary statement in the last part of verse number 20. But the way to be richly blessed is by being a faithful, obedient disciple. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 1. And as we begin reading here in verse number 16, recall back to what we've been talking about in the Bible study series in Leviticus, that in order to come to worship in the temple, those that were unclean, one of the things that they had to do was to wash. Isolation was one particular way, but also washing was another way to approach God's presence in the temple, in the temple and in the tabernacle area. Verse number 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Verse 17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Verse number 18. Come now, God says, and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the way that could be done is reflecting back to verse 16 and 17. That particular process. Learning to do good, ceasing the evil, seeking justice, defending the fatherless, and pleading for the widow. Verse number 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we have some alternatives here to choices that we make. Verse number 18, as it talks about, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is a picture of total forgiveness for following through the admonition of verses 16 and 17. What we would call walking the walk like Christ did. So we've examined now several scriptures describing the physical blessings for obedience, just as Abraham was promised. But remember, Abraham was also promised spiritual blessings for obedience. The blessing to all the nations that would come from his descendants. We as disciples are also promised spiritual blessings for faithful obedience. And we can reap those spiritual blessings. Let's go to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50. We talk about the blessings for obedience. Spiritual blessings are so wonderful and something that we can focus on now as we've gone through the days of unleavened bread and go forward through this year. Psalm chapter 50, verse number 23. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, in other words, changes his path, direction that he's going down, get on the right path, I will show the salvation of God. The New Revised Standard Version of verse 23 reads like this, to those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of the Lord. Those who want to serve God in the proper way, in the right conduct, will turn their path to God, turn away from sin, what we call repentance, and then God will offer salvation to them, begin to lead them, guide them down the road to salvation. And that's the right path to choose. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. What we're talking about here is repentance and conversion is a spiritual blessing. God has opened our minds, called us out of the many billions of this earth to have an understanding that there is a plan for all of mankind, that He is offering eternal life, but there's a road that we have to go down to that eternal life. And repentance and conversion is part of that process. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse number 21. We'll read verses 21 and 22. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 21. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. They were crying out mightily. For they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. Then notice God's admonition in verse 22. Return, you backsliding children. And what does God promise for their turning around and going the right way? I will heal your backslidings. Of course, we know that the children of Israel did go down the road of apostasy. Even so much so that they even burnt some of their children to the fire to pagan gods. Terrible, terrible things that they did. Backslidings, big time. And yet God promised for their turning away from that apostasy that He would heal them, begin to help them on their road to salvation. Continuing on, indeed we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. A way of repentance. Return here is the call to repentance. And in response, God promised to heal their wounds from apostasy in which they had participated. Conversion and repentance. Very important spiritual blessings for each and every one of us as disciples. Let's go to the book of Acts. We're heading, counting down the days to the next holy day, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit did come to the church. What a spiritual blessing it was for those that were assembled that day when the Holy Spirit came and they began to walk the right walk. And eventually, thousands were converted as well. Acts chapter 2. And let's pick it up in verse number 22. Peter here, after receiving the Holy Spirit, gave a very powerful sermon. Such a powerful sermon, it affected those that were listening to him, those that were in the audience that day. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22, and he's talking about Jesus Christ being crucified. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. You saw the mighty works. You saw the healings that he did, the powerful messages that he preached. You were witnesses. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. And I bet there was more than one of them that were sitting there and chills went up their spines as they heard these words, and it cut them to the thick. Let's drop down to verse number 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And it affected those that were listening to them. And they posed a question to Peter. Verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When they realized what they had done, what their hands had done, it had cut to their heart, and they wanted to know what to do. Peter gave them the formula, then in verse number 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent," which that means turn to God, get away from the road you're going down. "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What a powerful spiritual blessing to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The formula, repentance, turning away from your way of life to God, being baptized, submerged under that water, your sins buried symbolically, forgotten, brought back up out of that water, clean before God, ready to walk that walk. Then the hands laid upon the person to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you can walk, that you can have that help to walk that walk, which is what we talk about on the day of Pentecost. What a spiritual blessing to follow that formula. And Peter gave it to those people that day. Repent, be baptized, and receive the great spiritual blessing of the Holy Spirit. And Christ promised to the disciples they would do greater works through the help of the Holy Spirit. It would guide them into all truth. It would teach them many wonderful things. And it would even bring to their memory his sayings and teachings, so that they could preach the gospel message in a powerful way. But there's a connection. There's a connection between receiving the Holy Spirit and obedience. Let's notice in Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles were preaching the gospel message, but they were being persecuted while they were doing that. And we come to that section of scripture in Acts chapter 5. And let's pick it up in verse number 27. Acts chapter 5, verse 27. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council." And here we have the high priest in front of the apostles here, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." Again, very cynical and very persecuting to Peter and the apostles. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And verse 32, which I want to focus on here, "And we are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So part of the formula for receiving the Holy Spirit is through obedience. God has given to those who obey. Spiritual blessing. Acts chapter 3. A couple pages back. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent therefore and be converted." Here's talking about more spiritual blessings. "That your sins may be blotted out." And then beyond that, "so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." There's a connection between restoration and salvation. Times, the promise of times of refreshing, the kingdom of God, for having repented and becoming converted. The times of refreshing involve the restoration of hope, the hope of humanity to live in a better world. It's interesting, our English word refreshing, according to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, says that coming from the original Greek, it means to cool or refresh by a breath. To cool or refresh by a breath. And interestingly, the term was used for physical and spiritual refreshment. Physical and spiritual refreshment. A spiritual refreshment that leads to repentance and conversion. Walking the way that Christ walked. And in order for us as disciples to follow in Christ's footsteps, we need the help, extra help from the Holy Spirit that is promised to those who are obedient. That's a promised spiritual blessing that is so tremendous. And sometimes we don't even think about that enough and contemplate that. What a blessing it is that God has given me His Spirit to walk that walk and give me that help that I need. Christ promised that they'd have that help on the very night they partook of the Passover. Let's look back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Spiritual blessing that Christ promised the disciples the night they took the Passover, promised to us as well. John chapter 14. And let's pick it up in verse number 15. We read this on the night of the Passover. Great to reflect upon, though, as we go towards the day of Pentecost. John chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, you have that relationship, you're abiding in me. What does he say? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever. That helper, the Parakletos, to give us that help that we need. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it. But you know it, for it dwells with you, and, notice, will be in you. What a great promise that it will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And verse number 20, at that day, looking forward to the day of Pentecost, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Again, the promise of the Holy Spirit to help us to do greater works. Notice verse number 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And then the Holy Spirit would come and give them that help that they need. Let's go to verse number 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. What a promise of a spiritual blessing to be able to remember those things. As we study God's Word, begin to drink it in and take it into our lives, we understand more of God's walk, of Christ's walk, in the way that we need to live. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That relationship can be developed more fully and further developed by keeping and obeying the commandments. These things I have spoken to you, verse number 11, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for one's friends. In verse 14 and 15, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus Christ said, "You are my friends." And keeping the commandments is a way of abiding or maintaining our contact with Jesus Christ. A servant here is not a title of shame, but it's one like Abraham, Moses, and David were called servants of God. Some think that, you know, to be a friend of the king was what they wanted to be in the Roman world, to have access to the king. But to have access to Jesus Christ was even a greater blessing. To be called by friends, an intimacy that not even the patriarchs were able to fully know as we are as disciples. Brethren, there are so many blessings that God promises to those who are obedient. Physical blessings are just part of the promise. Still greater yet are the spiritual blessings. Now that we have finished the days of unleavened bread, it's a good time to refocus, to reorient our lives for the coming year, to think about the path that we are walking, to follow in the footsteps and walk as Jesus Christ did in faithful obedience. To be obedient to God, trusting in Him, is to reap the rewards of being blessed and to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's be diligent this year to think about the things that we are doing, to evaluate our lives. We are going towards the day of Pentecost, picturing when the Holy Spirit came to the church. That Holy Spirit will give us the help that we need to help us fight those battles that we talked about in the sermon yesterday, to follow in the steps of Christ, walked as He did in faithful obedience. A good challenge for us this coming year, one that we can work hard at and be diligent.